4, verse 19, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And he says, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. So the first verse, we teach them about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the next verse is after we get saved, after we get baptized, then we teach them to observe all things whatsoever he says, I've commanded you. These are the basic principles we've been looking at with the converts class tonight. And he said, lo, I'm with you all the way even to the end of the world. He says, amen. We know that Peter said in Acts chapter 4 when he was asked, he said, why are y'all doing this? He said, we can only teach what we have seen and heard. John later said in 1 John chapter 1 verse 3, that which we have seen and heard. So what we're looking at is we're looking at what we've seen and heard, and we're looking at the converts class material, but tonight we're looking at some different things. This is where we're going to depart from the norm, okay? I don't like repetitive stuff. Do you like repetitive stuff? No, of course you don't. That's why your TV runs them new things all the time. Right? Now watch this. We saw, number one, that we must come to church. We're supposed to come to church. When you got saved, you knew that one. You don't know how you knew it, but you knew it, right? Amen. We knew we were supposed to come to church. We knew that beyond a shadow of a doubt we were supposed to come to church. That was an easy one. Then we know we were supposed to read the Bible, right?
Yes. Amen.
Supposed to read the Bible. That's all simple stuff so far. But then we get to this other stuff here. It's going to really make a difference. We're supposed to study the Bible.
Yeah.
You know why you rightly divide the word of truth? That's not just dispensational truth. If you get a revelation, that's a very confusing book. If you don't understand, you need to rightly divide it, because it looks like there's four tribulations instead of one. But there's four looks at it, and they go consecutively like that. You got the seals, the judgments, what the Antichrist is doing, so forth like that. And we study the Bible and rightly divide the word of truth so we can see what's going on in here. We're supposed to tithe.
Amen.
If y'all don't shout at tithing, I'm going to sing the tithing song, you know. Y'all think I'm playing. I'm not. Me and Ben's going to sing a duet. We forget that quintet stuff. We're getting a duet going. They'll either tithe, they'll get to singing. There we go.
Amen, brother.
We'll get one, and I get the other usher up here. We'll have a trio. All right, we're supposed to give to missions. We know that. We've seen that. We've heard that. We're supposed to win souls to Christ. We're supposed to pray. We're supposed to be, here's where we departed from the norm right here. We're supposed to be filled with the Spirit. That's not in converts material.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm going to preach to you tonight is not going to be in there as well. And what I'm going to preach to you tonight on as part of this converts class is we're supposed to forgive.
Yeah. Amen.
When I got this thing together, I put together like a Ten Commandments for a born-again believer. See, that sounds so cool, don't it? Ten Commandments for a born-again believer. But we're not under commandments.
Right.
These are all optional. Do you know that?
Yeah.
There's a catch, though. You either do it or you don't deal with me. You deal with him.
Right.
He's your Father which is in heaven,
yeah,
and he will chasten you betimes. This is not a warning of if you don't do this, God's going to beat you half to death. That ain't how that works. He's going to correct you into doing it.
Mm-hmm.
See, a lot of people have got this thing backwards. Listen, do you know why there's so many child abuse cases in America that are not true? Tell you why. You can talk to any DSS worker that's honest, and they'll tell you what I'm fixing to tell you is right. There's a lot of overreacting which leads to overcorrecting. That's the problem. If you do that one more time, I'm going to blame. And then about the 15th time, I said one more time, and then they blow their lid and jump on the child.
Yeah.
When they do it the first time, correct them right then. Don't let your anger issues boil to the top.
Right.
Just do it while you come. That way you can truthfully say, this will hurt me a whole lot more than it will you. That way you ain't already hurt trying to do it. Because you can't believe your little darlings acted like that and blah, blah, blah. It must have been the deacon's kids that made them do that, or the preacher's kids, or whatever you want to, you know. Whoever you're trying to throw into the bus to save your name.
Yeah.
But really, they're acting off DNA more than they're acting off learned behavior at that point. I'm just throwing that out there for you to really chew on that one a little bit. But here's the problem. Here's the problem we get into. We see so many Christians with such bad examples, we forget about that we're supposed to be having Christ as our example. Because
yeah,
we compare each other, we all going to come out pretty good or pretty bad depending on who we find. And I've never found a person that finds a better person to compare themselves to. They always find a worse one.
Yeah.
It's like all these goofballs in politics call themselves conservative. You know, even Democrats call themselves conservative. You know what they're comparing themselves to? Some other Democrat that's more liberal than them. True story. Just watch all the news shows. You'll figure out what I'm talking about. And you'll be brainwashed and going, after a while. But if you read the Bible and you study the Bible, you would have to agree with me that the day you got saved, something happened to you. And I'm going to tell you what it was. Clean slate. You know what that was? That's the best feeling in the world, wasn't it?
Yeah,
I know we don't go off feelings now. Don't. But that was a great feeling, though.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, listen, if you've ever been in handcuffs, it's like when they take the cuffs off and throw you out the jailhouse, say, you out of here.
Yeah.
That's a great feeling. Some of you ain't never been locked up, bless your heart. Listen, the worst feeling in the world is when that guy says, watch your head, and he's got that chain in the back on you, and he's guiding you right in there. And you're thinking the whole time, I'm going to keep my head down so they don't see me. They already saw you. They already saw you. And they're shoving you in the back of the car. There you go. And you get to the jailhouse. And especially up here, you say, thank God they got a garage door. They're going to pull me in on the inside so nobody see you, know. And you think, I'm glad of that. Then they come in and throw a trash bag over your head and take your picture. So I'm glad nobody's here to see this. Not knowing the whole time all that stuff's online now.
Yeah.
And there you are.
Yeah.
You know. With your little trash can on. Trash bag, I mean, excuse me. And there you sit, all guilty as charged and telling everybody you're innocent before they mask. What'd they catch you with? Oh, I don't know, just video evidence probably nowadays. Everything's on video. Everything's recorded now. So there's no more. Oh, wait a minute. It's photoshopped. I forgot. That's new. I didn't do it. It was photoshopped. That wasn't me in the video stealing all that stuff. It was photoshopped. That wasn't me robbing the bank. That was some other guy that looked exactly like me. You know, everybody's got a doppelganger. You know, people starting to use them excuses now. I seen one on the news the other day where a guy actually said that, and I thought, that's great material right there. It's the new I'm innocent. You're not innocent. I'm not. Nobody's innocent no more. And Brother Kirsch, I'm going to say this. I don't know if we can say this outside the orientation thing, but I'm going to say it so the rest of these knuckleheads in this world understand this. If you ever get a chance to go to prison, do not ever say, I should be in here with you. You know why? They want you to turn yourself in. Them guys listen to you and go ahead and join the merry band there. You got that? You know why? If you are that bad of a person, you really ought to turn yourself in. I think they should anyway. Can I say that here? I can say that here, can I? They didn't tell us we couldn't say it outside that little meet we was in. But what I'm getting at tonight is this. Don't go in there bragging on how bad you was to a bunch of bad guys. They may take you up on it. So them guys ain't bad. Well, you ain't in there. So I just didn't get caught. Well, then admit your guilt and go in there and get it over with, okay? Like I said, the first thing, when you got saved, first thing ever happened to you, no matter if anybody else did, God forgave you, blank slate.
Right.
And it wasn't just God taking it away. It's like God took it away like it never happened to him.
Right.
Okay? Look over to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to look at a couple of verses and get into this. Ephesians chapter 4. There's two places we're going to look at. One's in Ephesians, one's in Colossians. We're going to get to Ephesians one first. This is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. We are supposed to forgive. If you do not forgive, there will be issues with you that will last your entire Christian life, and it will affect everybody, especially you. Verse 32, and be ye kind one to another. Let's stop and say, agree with the Lord and everybody present. We're going to practice that one. Be ye kind one to another.
Yep.
How you doing? Hey, how are you? Somebody.
Yeah. Three.
Well, hey there.
Hello?
Don't be that guy.
Either.
So I don't have great teeth. We'll get some false ones in.
All right.
Okay. Do this. Do it like that then.
Right.
Be ye kind one to another.
Mm-hmm.
Be ye kind one to another. Don't take somebody's seat just to be a jerk about it.
Right.
Be ye kind one to another. Thou shalt be kind to one another, kind of. Is that what we're getting at?
Mm-hmm.
He said, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted. Oh, look at that. Not stone-hearted, tender-hearted. You say, how do you tell the difference? I'm going to tell you the difference. I won't show it to you, but I've got this mark on my leg where that stupid dog scratched me the other day by accident playing with the other dog. I was not even in the play date there. They were just playing, and I got scratched. It felt like a knife went through me. I thought I was going to have to call the ambulance, get my leg amputated, you know, one of them type injuries. Y'all laugh, but I'm still hurting to this day. Don't you back there laugh either. But anyway, you know why it's like that? Because that thing's tender. I don't spend my time kicking people with that shin. I ain't built up a rhinoceros hide on it. So how's that? I don't put my legs out there to get them burned. Say amen right there. See, you don't believe in wearing shorts? I do believe it. I got a pair on right now. Say amen right there. Listen to me. But I'm telling you, I do this stuff for a reason. I'm telling you this for a reason. Tender-hearted. Get this. Be ye kind one another. Tender-hearted. Forgiving one another.
Yep.
Forgiving. Well, you don't know what they did. I don't care. Forgiving one another. And it's now watch this. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Whatever it is that you won't forgive, I promise you, you did worse than that to God before you ever got saved. And you may have done worse since. Forgiving one another. Well, you're supposed to forgive, but you ain't supposed to forget. Who told you that? Did you just read where it said, even as God for Christ? Did I not just let the cat out of the bag that when God saved you, I set you up? Blank slate, right?
Yeah.
You got the blank slate, and guess what happened next? You going to hold somebody in contempt of what was took off that piece of paper? It's kind of like you go from here. It's kind of like you go from here to here, but yet you're going to hold this over here. Why would you do that? Would you like for God to get up and announce what you've been holding against everybody else and what you did against Him since you've been saved? He said, well, I ain't that bad. How about this? Samuel said it's a sin if I don't pray for you.
Yep.
You pray for everybody in this room like you're supposed to? Somebody got 24 hours a day and we got this right here. And we got this. Really? That's called a sin. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. I think we need to get back to that one right there.
That's right.
Listen, He gave me a clean slate today, just like every morning. I ask the Lord this. Lord, look through things I forgot because my mind's getting bad and that, and I'll look over things I do is not sin. But try me and know my heart, see if there's any wicked way in me. And you know what happens every time I do that? Something comes up.
No.
Oh, I forgot that. Lord, I'm glad you remind me. Knowing I didn't forget it. Now I got to confess two things, that and lying.
Come on.
So if He's going to do that for me, what does that got to do for you again? I forget already.
Yeah.
I got to forgive you just like He did me.
Right.
Y'all look shocked, but listen, that's in your Bible. It's not just in mine. Forgiving one another. You know what splits churches? Two things. Just two things. Pride and unforgiveness.
Yep.
And those become Siamese twins after a while.
That's right.
I'm too prideful to forgive you. They go side by side. Now look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Two books over. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. He says in this verse, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Say, well, that says the same thing just about. Yeah, there's one added little clause in there, forbearing one another. Let me tell you what that literally is talking about. That is literally talking about putting up with people who put up with you.
Yep.
So how do you know that? Because it's a one another. That means there's more than one there.
Freedom.
I know you think that if it's just you and your favorite person in church together, you'd be okay. You'd eventually get mad at them. You'd have to put up with them too. Isn't that cool?
Come on.
Some of you, listen, bless your heart, you ain't figured this out yet. You got to put up with them because somebody's putting up with you.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Wait a minute. I know you're the only one, so maybe you're putting up with us and we're putting up with you. How about that? Maybe this side of the room is putting up with this side of the room. Like I said, I was talking about church splits. You know what happened when we had one set of pews in here? Everybody said on each end. I mean, it's the same thing. The problem that people have is they want everybody to put up with them, but they don't want to put up with somebody else.
Yeah.
And their cause for it and their clue is this. They say, I've got my limits. Ain't you glad God ain't got them limits?
Amen.
They're talking about, you know, that chastening thing. Ain't you glad God's a better parent than you are? He'd have killed you within 2 weeks if he wasn't. You're talking about child abuse. He just took you right to heaven. I said, Lord, I can't put up with that. You're out. Boy, that mouth.
Amen.
God, unforgiveness. Look at it. But he didn't. He's put up with you. Even as Christ, for God's sake, has done that one thing, forgave you. How did he forgive us? Well, he put up with you and forgave you. That's what God does. I told you this stuff wasn't in converse material. And you know why? Because they don't think that saved people that's recently saved has this problem. I got news for you. You brought it with you. Let me give you some examples. Listen to this. The day you got saved, you got your destination settled. But you weren't made perfect and sinless here.
Right.
You drug that same old dead body with you when you come into the kingdom of God, right?
Amen.
And the kingdom of God's internal. Righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. And you brought something with you. You brought baggage. What do? Forgive everybody. There was a guy come here and he got saved. He is an ex-cocaine addict and all this other stuff. I mean, a regular rebel rouser. And I won't call his name in case his family's listening because it hurts them to think about him. But a guy in his church led him to the Lord, brought him to church with him. And he asked me a question. I've never forgot this. He said, what do I need to do to them people that live on my road? That's what he's talking about. He said, I grew up, man, I was a scoundrel. Let's go ask him to forgive you. You know what he did? He took me to his word, went down there and knocked. Well, hey, what you doing? I just want to let you know I got saved and I apologize for the way I lived before I got saved. All the times the police were called down there. All the times that he had them late night things and all that loud music. I just want to ask you to forgive me. And then he tells me, I won't be at church this coming Sunday. I got something I got to do. That's what you got to do. He said, I got to go to church I grew up in and ask him to forgive me for lying to him about saying I was saved back when I was a kid. He goes back there and tells him. You ever, listen, you know how uncomfortable it is to be up here and somebody that ain't been here a long time is like, can I say something? Especially that type of guy that you know has been out in a mess for 25, 30 years.
Yeah.
You kind of go, yeah, go ahead. And you look at the deacons and go, watch him. I want everybody's church to know I wasn't saved and I said I got saved. My baptism didn't count for nothing. I was lost and undone without God. I'd done all this stuff and it wasn't y'all's fault. It was mine. Will y'all forgive me? You say, what is that? I believe it's a real conversion, just looking at it from the outside in. You know what proved it to me? Listen to this. After doing all that, he missed one church service, laid out, and the next day he died. You want to hear another cool one? Could you handle anything past that? That's stout. There was this guy, my wife and I knew, he is a sodomite. She goes around one day, she tells me, I got to take my Bible and go witness this guy. She takes her Bible, busts up in front of her. Well, sodomite spread out when that Bible come out. Well, we got to go. See you later. Phew, out the door they went. Takes that Bible and shows him all this stuff about getting saved. Well, you don't think he got saved right then, do you? No. But when he is flat of his back up there in the hospital, he's wondering if he's going to die. Only one person come to mind to call. That was her. She shows up with the Bible, and they, you know them rooms had a great big divider curtain? She didn't know on this side was a bunch of Christians over here going to pray. Well, she walks on this side and takes her Bible and shows him again how to be saved. This time, he wasn't asking, he was begging to be saved. He got saved. This is going to kill you right here. You know what church he went to? He went to an independent Baptist church, grew up in it, got into that lifestyle, get saved. And 2 months later, he's in heaven. He thought when he got out of the hospital, he had a clean bill of health. And boom, he's out of here. You talking about them last second things getting in right before the thing happens? You know what he did? He asked people to forgive him for how he lived. He doesn't ask God, he's asking people. That's rare. That's rare. When I first got saved, there was a guy who split the church I grew up in. That's where this come from. You talking about crazy. I called him up after I got saved. I called a guy, baptized me the first time. I said, I want to ask you something, brother. He said, what? I said, can you forgive me for lying to you? He said, what did you lie about? I said, I didn't get saved back when I was 14 years old. I knew it then. And he talked like this. He said, well, dear brother, are you saved now? I said, yes, sir. Told him what happened. You know what he said? Well, praise God, I'm glad you got it, son. You're forgiven. So I called the guy that was the pastor of that church that split that church and started this one. Told him the same thing. I hated that guy when I was lost. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
I asked him to forgive me. I didn't care what he did. Mm-hmm. He said, I forgive you. Yeah. Now listen to me. Since I've been here, I've watched person after person after person run their face, say anything they wanted to, and one person tell them, why don't you not say that no more, and then blow up, man, out the door they go. Mm. We put up with you the whole time. We say one thing to you, and you going to blow up on one thing?
Come on.
Why would you do that?
Yep.
Forbearing one another. And forgiving one another.
Amen.
See, this ain't in the new converts material because people don't believe you bring that baggage with you. You bring some of that with you.
Yes.
Your sins are forgiven. Your eternal destination has changed. But you have to learn to be like Christ.
Yes.
If if I didn't believe that, I'd mark out the verse that says be conformed to the image of Christ.
Yes.
I'd already be there, but I'm not there.
Yes.
What's the first way to be like that? Learn how to forgive people. If you don't learn nothing about Jesus, if you get that part down, the rest of it will come. Like you just wanted to have all the rest of it and wonder how that got there. But it all starts right there.
Yeah.
The day I got saved, I want to say this, and I don't want you to take this out of context, what I'm saying, but it felt like a building had been taken off my chest, and I didn't know it was on there until it was gone. You know what that was? Unforgiveness. Not on your end, his end. I thought there was a war going on in this world. The war wasn't going on in this world. It was me and God fighting.
Yeah.
And when I got saved, he quit fighting. In that same book of Colossians, it talks about having peace with God. Another place talking about having the peace of God. I got both of them at the same time. Felt like all the load was taken off. Here's the good part. If he can forgive me what I did and what I was doing against God, you ain't got nothing to worry about. I forgive you. The problem we run into, though, is that people don't know how to forgive. You believe that?
Yeah.
Even though we're commanded to forgive and our commitments to forgive, being forgiven, we don't realize that Jesus' death provides God with permission for our sins in Hebrews 9:22.
Yeah.
He pays our sin debt. Jesus' burial provides God with remembering your sins no more. He says in Psalm 103 verse 2, says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgression from us.
Yeah.
It's not that he can't remember. He's not a forgetful God. He puts it away from himself and chooses not to remember it anymore.
Right.
Listen, you may hold unforgiveness. If he did, you wouldn't be here.
Yep.
If he ever started counting up past debts and he's already forgiven and started holding grudges, oh boy, we'd be in a mess.
Come on.
But I noticed this, that Jesus' resurrection provides God with real believers. When we come to him on the basis of his death, burial, and resurrection of his son, we come and we get the whole message and the whole forgiveness and the whole thing. How dare we hold anybody in contempt after that event?
Amen.
How dare we? What kind of person is that? You see all these parables that Jesus tells. There's one of them he told about the guy that owed so much money and the master forgave him, and then he goes back and wants to collect on some other guys. He's talking about an unconverted person. You ain't like that, are you?
No.
Look over at Matthew chapter 18. I think it's Matthew 18. If it's not, I'll read both chapters till I find it. Just kidding. Some of you is worried about that. Matthew chapter 18, down at verse 15. We in the South, I'm trying to help you. Matthew 18, verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, Hey, Brian, you got my weed eater? You know, you borrowed my weed eater, right? He didn't bring it back. You know what that means? He's trespassed. He's stolen my property. Now watch this. Amber's like, get him, preacher. I'm fixing to. Moreover, thy brother shall trespass against thee. Go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And I just told him, right? Y'all pretend like y'all wasn't here. I told him, okay? So I let him know, you got my weed eater. If it's a gas powered bang that thing against the side of a building to us in a million pieces, though. Anyway, I have a contempt for weed eaters. It's in the Bible somewhere, and I'm going to keep looking for it until I find it. He says, if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. That means if he brings the weed eater back, we square. And if it's tore up, he buys me a new one. Fair enough, ain't it? You wonder if you got my weed. You sit here thinking about this. You ain't got my weed eater. Listen, this is just an example. He doesn't really have my weed eater, okay? But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more. All right, let's see. You, let's go see Brian. That in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And I learned from Paul Wiley this. He said, how do you know it's your weeder? We got a receipt in the drawer in the kitchen. Ain't that right, Mama? I mean, no matter what he said he borrowed from you, if he didn't have it, he had a receipt for it in the drawer from Sears. I mean, whatever it was. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. So if he won't listen to me, and I go back to two or three witnesses, he will listen to me, then I tell y'all about it. Let him be in this, and heathen man and a publican. What message did you just glean from that? He's lost. He's lost. I've forgiven him. I've tried to reconcile this. Tried to do it the right biblical way, and he won't do it. Now, he's mad. He's got a root of bitterness and unforgiveness toward me because I confronted him about stealing my weed eater, not his, mine. All right, now watch this. Now, he's mad. He's unforgiven. He's got a root of bitterness. What's he going to do? He's going to tell everybody I ain't saved. I'm trying to settle this with him biblically, and he's telling everybody I ain't saved. Yep. And those witnesses I just brought in with me, y'all ain't saved either, by the way, because y'all following a lost man. Y'all getting this, right? Yep. Now watch this part. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatsoever shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So what I'm seeing here is that if I don't go to him and talk to him about this, what's the problem? Right in front of your face. I am. Yes. So I could tell all y'all he had my weed eater and never tell him he got my weed eater. Mm-hmm. That boy, Steve, weed eater. I ain't even told him he stole my weed eater. He never stole it. He borrowed it. And probably when I let him borrow it, so I told him, you can keep it till you need to give it back. Mm-hmm. Then I'm going to turn around and double cross him and say, he stole my weed eater. Some of y'all thinking about some things. I see the wheels turning and the smoke from here. You wonder who's got your weed eater and whose weed eater have I got? But the problem comes back to the same thing. When people don't forgive, you know what happens to them? They get in bad. They get in a very bad way. And what happens is they get to a point where they're so ornery to be around. Look over Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. They get to a point where they're just hard to get along with, and everything seems to be happening to them, and they say, everybody's against me. They get like old Jacob. You know what Jacob said, don't you? He said, all these things are against me, all these things. What was against Jacob? Nothing. He had some problems with God, and it spilled over into his life. And in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 13, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, and says, but let it rather be healed. Why are we going to heal something? Well, right here. Follow peace with all men and wholeness, without which no man shall see the Lord. What did he just tell you right there? Holiness and peace. Get those things. Looking diligently, what are we looking at? Ourself. What are we looking for? Straight paths. We're looking for peace with all men and wholeness. Why? We're looking forward to seeing him one day. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Who's the root of bitterness in? One person. Just one. Who got defiled by it? Everybody else. We use this illustration a lot, but it bears repeating. Being unforgiving towards people and holding a grudge and getting rid of bitterness is like drinking, like me drinking poison and wanting all y'all to die.
Yep.
So, well, how would that affect us? I'd throw up on you. You drink poison, you throw. That's a fact. Y'all ain't never killed no rats before. Rat poison, what's the first thing you find on them? They sit there, they got something running out their mouth. What was it? Results of that poison. You know what happens to you? Your poison comes shooting out your mouth. Except it ain't throw up. It's bitterness. It's bitterness. Hey, brother, will you pray for such and such? He goes, are you listening to me? You're talking about forgiveness.
Yeah.
He's mad at me because I brought it up. You know what's so bad? I didn't do it. He just named out the guy that did, that he won't forgive.
Yeah.
And if you don't forgive for long, guess what he's going to do? He's going to look at his wife and say, why'd you smile when he said it? See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Many be defiled.
Yeah.
You go down to the convenience store to get your gas, and you get out trying to get your gas pump. You swipe your credit card, put the thing in, it won't work, and you so bitter and so unforgiving, you walk in there and take it out on that guy. He says, hello, sir, big pickle in plastic bag to go with gas tank, and you go, where's my gas at, you idiot? He always liked you, he's ready to jump on somebody. My parents taught me early on, my grandparents said it, my parents said it, don't go out looking for a fight because eventually you'll find somebody that you can't whoop.
Right.
You know what they're going to run into? Somebody more bitter than them. You mean God would allow that? You ain't in his control no more, remember?
Yeah.
You under somebody, you playing for somebody else's team at that point.
Right.
Oh no, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Why ain't he got that out of you then? They tell me this. I don't know how true this is. But you ever see these trees that's down by a river, how strong they look? You ever seen one that's not? You know what it looks like? It's fallen. Jesus said in John chapter 7, out of these shall flow rivers of living water. But if that water gets cut off, you've fallen. So what you got to do to keep the water going? Dig a little deeper, honey. Dig a little deeper. Ask God to forgive you and go take care of that person that's doing that. It's a strange thing. I've used this illustration a lot. I want you to hear this. Maybe this time, the thousandth time, it's going to click, okay? When you are harvesting wheat, you cannot tell the wheat from the tares. They look so much alike, it's hard to tell. I talked to a man that he had a farm. I made a mistake. He said, you want to work on a farm one day in your life? Sure it is. I thought, sure. I'm thinking, what's the guy on Green Acres name? Mr. Douglas. I'm thinking, dun, 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 dun. It wasn't nothing like that. He says, it's a dairy farm. So I'm thinking, we're milking cows. We weren't just milking cows. Machines did that. Went out there in that hay field. Lord have mercy. You talking about slinging stuff to you about dead. And that was just the first hour. But he told me something. He said, you see all that out there? They ain't been harvested yet. He said, about 2 or 3 weeks, I'm going to be able to tell which one's real and which one's not. I said, how's that? He said, because when the harvest comes, the wheat's going to do this, and them tares are going to be standing just like this. Can I tell you what's wrong with you? Every time we have an altar call, you won't come down here. I'm going to tell you why you don't come. When the harvest gets near... Well, I can't go down there. They'll think I'm not saved. Are you kidding me? They think you're not saved standing there. People say stuff like that. I'm thinking, no, that's not so. Look over at Luke chapter 18. I read this morning. I want to share this with you and impact your life with it. Luke 18. Here's the invitation time. With the synagogue 2,000 years ago, here comes the invitation time. Jesus Christ is telling, remember he can read minds. Remember I told you that this morning? Verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves. It says that they were righteous and despised others. What's wrong with this person? Either they're lost or there's a root of bitterness there or both. Two men went up in the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. the Pharisee stood, watch this, and prayed thus within himself, God, verse 12, Number 5 in the Bible, every time you run it through the Bible, from the first mention all the way to the end, is the number for death. You see what's surrounding that man right there? That root of bitterness is all over him. He's probably a lost man because he's a Pharisee, but he, what if this is you? I do this, I tithe, I fast, I do this, I. And then the other guy, the publican, standing far off, will not even so much lift up his eyes into heaven. Get the picture. Look at this. Look up here. One guy's here, one guy's here. Watch this. It says, he will not lift up his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. They didn't have to convince him of no 10-step program he needed to be saved. He already knew it. By the way, you know what publican means? Those were the scumbags of the day. They were Jews that were working for the Roman government, turncoats. You know what you'd call them today? Race traitors. How dare you as a Jew be over there with them dogs? How dare you work for that crowd? How about that? Scum of the scum. The scum on the bottom of the scum. That's what they thought of them. And it says there, He said, verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. Justified. Rather than the other, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humble himself shall be exalted. We read that in Luke 14 this morning. I see the same message coming back around to the same people. You say, well, I'm more like that publican, I'm actually saved. Well, why are you acting like a Pharisee? Forgiveness is the difference. Do you know that the very crowd that held unforgiveness in their heart was the ones that went after Jesus, trying to catch him in his words, trip him up, make a fool out of him, and finally when they couldn't do that, they had him killed. You ain't that guy, are you? Stood. The other guy wouldn't lift up his head. See the difference? So what's the difference in that wheat? Why it does that? That wheat's full of something on the inside that makes it do this, and the tare has nothing on the inside. You know why the Pharisee was like this? Nothing in there. You say you saved all you want to, but unless there's somebody inside, and listen, he gets you to do this every once in a while. By the way, don't get me wrong. I don't think you should be down here at altar every message unless you got something you're trying to get God to move on. I don't think so. But when you never come, well, preacher, you're just not that good of a preacher. I know. I'm striking out. I'm missing all this. I'm probably this ain't pertaining to none of y'all tonight. I know. I'm a bad preacher. But what if I'm right half the time? See what I'm getting at here? If you know that this is knocking on your door, don't come tell me about after service. Father Little cannot really forgive you of your sins. It's true, I can't. Y'all remember Mork and Mindy from the 70s? You know how they met, don't you? That dummy cracked out of that egg, went and found the suit, put it on him, put it on backwards. And it looked, he looked like a Catholic priest. And she looked behind him, she saw a tie tied hanging down the back of his neck. And she said, well, Father, I need to talk to you. I just need somebody like you to talk to. He said, go ahead, my child. And she sets her confession to him like a Catholic priest and find out he's an alien from another world. I see why that show was on there so long. Boy, that's too much like real life. We all can relate with somebody like that. And we all got that dumb friend like Mork. Say amen right there. Listen, I see everybody wanting to confess their sins, but where are they supposed to go? What do we need? We need forgiveness. We need forgiveness that way and this way. Why? This is deep truth. I mean, I'm laying the deepest theology on you tonight. I lay on you. Here it is. God said to do it that way. Don't miss that part. There must be something to this forgiveness thing that will affect your walk with Him later on that He wants you to do it all the time because it will stunt your growth as a Christian. Yeah, listen. Back there in the nursery this morning, you know what happened? There's climbing walls, throwing things, them kids was. You know, one of them's poking another one in the eye and all. That's what children do. Babies do that. It ought not be happening out here amongst you adults.
That's right.
You know what they had to do back there this morning? Somebody probably sold themselves and they had to change that one because it can't do it itself. I ought not have to do that with you out here.
Right.
You ought not have to do that to me. I said, preacher, that'd be a mess. That's where we're at in life, ain't it? It's what creates that mess. It ain't not tithing. It ain't laying out of church here and there, but it is unforgiveness. That'll cause you more problems. Listen, you can come to church 3 times a week with unforgiveness and try to fake it for as long as you can, but you eventually people see how you hate everybody else.
Right.
It'll come out.
Yep.
Listen, I got this together 3 months ago, and I thought, you know, if I could preach this first, but the Lord said, do it this way. I look at this stuff, and I see 3 things that's wrong with that Pharisee and 1 thing right with the other guy. I want to be more like the other guy. I want to look at God, admit my guilt. If I have to, I'm going to go to somebody else. Listen, don't wait till they die and regret not doing it. So that person I'm unforgiving towards, they're young. Well, it's killing you right now, so you're getting older while they're staying the same age. So that's how that affects you. That root of bitterness defiles many. And by the way, don't miss this part. It defiles your children. They suffer the most. This probably has never happened to you. Although, between the two of us, you split a church and I didn't, just for the record, okay? I get accused of it because they think I did what you did, but it wasn't me. It was you. Long story. That's the beauty. Brother Fang, listen to this. Here's a great missionary story that Jason never told you. He goes and preaches at the church and they split while he's there, but everything happened before he got there. He just happened to walk in at the wrong place at the wrong time. Okay? So he told somebody that story and they put me in that thing and said I did it. I never told him any different. I thought, if you're going to be like that, man, I know we favor a lot. Right? We got the same height going, everything. I can see how they mistook us. But I finally told the guy, I said, you know, that wasn't me, right? He said, that wasn't you. I said, that wasn't me. He said, who was it? Brother Kirsch. Oh, it wasn't Brother Kirsch. He's not mean like you. I said, okay. But I get this stuff when people say stuff. I say, well, when you're preaching and you say something you ain't supposed to say and people get mad at you, happens every day. But can I ask you a question? How many words do you think I talk a minute? How many do you talk a minute? I think on average we speak 68 words a minute, normal talking. That's on average about 1.2 a second. If I can do that for 55 minutes, an hour, hour and a half, 45 minutes, whatever it is, and I don't sin that time, I deserve a bonus, a raise, and some gold medals and everything else. But how do you do the rest of the week when you're talking? You don't never make nobody mad. You don't never, you know, get the guys you work with mad at you for saying the wrong thing. Or even better, my favorite, listen to this one. I'll say something up here, and I'll hear I said something else. Brother Derek, you know why we record these services? Why we started recording them? Because of that right there. Because back when we started recording them, I had a little thing under here, and I'd hit record, and I started. Because I had people come to me saying I said things I didn't say. Oh, you said it! And I'd say, click. Show me where. Well, it was in a business meeting. Here's a tape from that. This ain't a breeze up here.
Right.
You know what I found out, too, after I got saved and called to preach and all that? God accounts me for every word I say, but I ain't the only one you are, too.
Right.
For bearing one another, forgiving them. If I said something make you mad, you know what you need to do? If I'm right, don't ever tell me. And if you're wrong, don't tell me. But if I'm wrong and you're right, please let me know. Show me in the Bible. I'll get it right with you. Public apology coming if necessary. But if you're just mad because I said it and it's written in the book, please get to the altar soon. Please get to the altar soon. Because if you don't, you're going to carry that around and beat everybody else to death with it. It's crazy how people act. But I'm telling you, I'm trying to help you tonight. Get this stuff off of you while you can. We all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. This Bible says so. Every one of us. To receive what we've done down here for Jesus Christ. Some people they're gonna feed all their works into that judgment fire, and everything's gonna be burned up. All because you held grudges and didn't do it for the Lord. You do it because it seemed good and felt good. I mentioned committees this morning. Let's set them on fire too. Let's get rid of them things. I don't care if you call them teams, committees, or a bunch of people don't do nothing. Either way, get back to serving the Lord in spirit and truth. Worship Him that way and serve Him that way. Get back to where the Bible's the final authority and say, you know, here's what God says. Let's just do it. Let's just simply do what God says. But the question you ought to ask yourself is this. Do you need to forgive somebody? Do you need to go to them and forgive them for something they did to you? If they did something to you and you need to square that away with them, go take care of it. You know what daylight savings time is? It means we walk out of here, the lights are still up, and you can go take care of it tonight. God still can. So I don't know how they react towards it. I know how you react towards it. Remember? That weight will be off you. Y'all, Brother Brian, I've never asked you this. We're just going to talk openly here for a second, closing. Do you ever train with them ankle weights on or you run with them? Is it easier or harder to do with that? That's unforgiveness. Man don't have to run with 10 pounds of weights on each leg. Right? You don't have to do that. But if you carry that thing around, you say, well, he can do that. He's in shape. No, listen to him. What if he goes and he says, I'm going to go in the kickboxing ring and fight with him things? That other guy's going to kill him. You know why? He ain't got no weights on. You know why the devil's beating you to death? You chained down. So I was training and he jumped on me. No use carrying unforgiveness with you. And he's the devil. He ain't worried about it. He's full of hate and murder and everything else. It's a second nature to him, if not a first nature. But what we do is we carry all that with us. We try to carry the devil's load with us, and we can't handle it. Yeah. Let me give you another verse in closing. This is, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. What are you heavy laden with? Unforgiveness. You carrying something he can carry. Go to him and square it away, and then square it away with everybody else. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we do.